Hey everyone, and welcome to today's Ladies Room. And I am joined here today with Dr. Teresa, and my name is Aisling. So hi everyone. If you've just tuned in, please pull up a chair because we are going to be having a little chat today about snacking. What is a snack? What's a healthy snack? Is it okay? Does it make us fat? Does it help us to get thin? There's just so many snacks out there. I feel that...
It's a snack attack.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah.
We've been attacked with snacks.
Yeah.
And we're losing the battle of the bulge.
For sure. Yeah. Because, I mean, they're just so convenient. They're everywhere, too. There's vending machines everywhere. There's kiosks everywhere. You can buy food literally everywhere today. It's not like you have to go very far to ever get yourself something in a packet. So I think
you
this
You can
is
carry it with you.
Yeah.
In your purse all the time.
Yeah. A lot of them are small enough to exactly carry in your purse, but I mean, they don't make
and
you small.
And that small thing is also like one of those big sneakies. Mm. Like it's like, this doesn't count.
Didn't happen.
It's so tiny.
Yeah, didn't happen. Yeah. Exactly. I feel that way with snacks for
the
sure.
The ghost eater.
Yes,
like,
exactly.
I eat nothing all day.
Yeah, exactly. So what is the deal with snacks and how do they make us fat? What's the story with that? Are they... Do they continue, are they always putting our insulin levels up? And is that what's making us fat from snacks?
Snacking. Well, I would definitely say if people were to ask, when people ask me, what is the one behavior? I think we've talked about like, if you had to make your team of fat, your fat fighting team, and you had all of the tips all laying on the floor, and I like win the coin toss, and I get to choose the first behavior to change, no snacking.
Right. Yes.
Snacking is really, really detrimental to long-term weight management in so many ways. Mm. But I like to start off with the very original way, which is we never are supposed to snack from the moment that we're born. So I'm an obstetrician, you know, deliver babies, and I say, okay, you're inside the womb for 9 months, growing inside your mother, connected by this umbilical cord, mm-hmm. which delivers food and oxygen to you and pulls away waste. So it's this pipeline. Mm-hmm. So you never, baby doesn't need to, the fetus doesn't need to breathe, it doesn't need to eat. All those needs are met. Okay. Then as soon as, and you don't need to hold your body up because you're floating around in the uniform temperature water. So as soon as a baby is born, smack, lots and lots of tasks are brought to bear. And they have to start breathing on their own because there's no oxygen delivered anymore from the mother. They have to regulate their own body temperature and they have to start to eat just like any other animal does. I mean, that's the big difference between animals and plants, besides the fact, you know, as we said, animals mm-hmm. have a brain and nervous systems, that's so they can move around and eat and digest. All those things require a nervous system. So you have to find food and not be food. So that is why you need a brain if you're an animal. But so as soon as an animal is born, it has to go, it has to be able to eat and find food. But human babies are very, very helpless. So, and they have a tiny little undeveloped digestive system, and their stomach capacity is only the size of a cherry.
Right.
So, at first, you can't eat very much, but that's a whole meal.
Right.
A cherry.
Yeah.
That's a meal. So, of course, when you're growing bigger, you would need to eat more frequent meals. But let us not get distracted in the snacking. The baby is not snacking.
Right.
It's eating frequent meals, just like when you get a new puppy.
Right.
And they eat 4 or 5 times a day. And then they grow a little bit bigger and they grow a little bit bigger digestive system. And you don't go, I feed, snack the puppies 4 or 5 times a day. And you don't just lay food out for them to eat it either. You feed them and then you make less and less feedings. As the digestive system matures and grows, then it grows, you know, over the course, it starts to be not the size of a cherry, then it's the size of a ping pong ball, and then, of course, an adult can eat a truly unbelievable amount of food in one sitting, and all you need to do is watch one of those food eating contests where they literally eat gallons of food in one sitting.
I don't know if you've ever seen this guy. My boyfriend and I actually really enjoy watching him. His name is Furious Pete, but he's big in the YouTube community. but he is one of these big food eating contest people, and what he can do with his mouth is unbelievable. So they have these burritos that are like, I don't know how many pounds they are, but they weigh a lot. And he eats this food. He doesn't chew. It's like it's just his it's a pipe, and it's just going right into his stomach. He doesn't chew. He just swallows. It's crazy. I don't know if you've ever heard of him, but check him out. He's nuts. You need to see this.
One of them, there was a woman that used to win. She was a manager of a Burger King, and she like weighs 100 pounds or something.
Yeah.
She was very skillful, so she did chew, and she would always win the ones where they were hard to eat, like the hard-boiled eggs and things like that. And then there was this couple, and they used to go and like eat a whole buffet of an entire restaurant, and they're both like this big, and you just wonder, how do you do this?
Yeah.
But a big part of it is not snacking. But let's like not get carried away with the competitive eaters. So what the point is that for a grown human, stomachs have something called capacitance. Dogs have this too. It's like the stomach has compliance. It is can relax and stretch and hold a lot of food. Whereas a newborn baby, it's not just the size of a cherry. It has no compliance. So as soon as you've had more than a cherry full, spit up.
Okay.
So everyone knows is like babies, they don't throw up, they spit up. And they spit up because literally you've just overfilled like a glass of water. So all you're getting is no more fits in, up it comes.
Right.
So it's not digested or broken down, it's just not enough room.
Right.
And as soon as they move around a little bit, up it, you know, it's like got to make a little room because there's no stretch. So babies, like when I, you know, I deliver babies. So when babies are born, the best way for them to eat is something we call like on demand. And they'll be on demanding a lot, particularly in the first month or two when mother's establishing a milk supply, for example. So she's helping mother know how much is needed. So you have to feed the baby often so that the mother makes enough milk. And by the time they've reached about 6 weeks out or so, 40 days, then milk production's at full capacity. So at that point, mother doesn't need to keep making more. The timing, babies get more efficient, and the amount that they can take in a meal changes over the course of childhood.
Right.
So we think of giving children snacks, but really we're giving them small meals. That's a much better way of looking at it. Again, just like a puppy. As they grow, you give them less meals. And a full-grown dog can eat once a day very easily. And dogs, like a lot of other carnivores, actually don't even need to eat every day.
Right.
Their body is very efficient at processing a large meal over a longer time.
Right. Gotcha.
So what humans have done is that they have not started to grow up with their eating. They are still eating like a baby, which is feed me now, feed me now, feed me now, feed me now, around the clock. And they actually don't ever start eating because they never stop eating. A lot of people eat in the nighttime even.
Right, yeah.
If there was alcohol, you would say there's seriously a problem here.
Yeah.
And food is addictive in that way, particularly when there's no context or framing, because you would have learned to do this. Is there a harm to nibbling all day? Well, here's a problem with YouTube that you mentioned is everybody knows all the exceptions. So everybody knows someone who eats all day long and is really, really thin. And then they go, well, I should eat all the time so I would be like that.
Yeah.
But it isn't how things mostly work out, because what determines whether your body is in fat, what determines how energy is used in your body once you eat it? Because we eat and our food is turned into nutrients that can be used as fuel or building blocks.
Right.
Or what I call rubbish. So if it's absorbed into your body and it can't be used as fuel or building block, or converted into something that can be used as a fuel or building block, then it's a toxin, which isn't the same as a poison. It's just there doing nothing, taking up space, waiting for its turn for the liver to turn it into something that can be eliminated.
Gotcha.
Because it was like, why did we ever absorb this in the first place? It just sits here.
Yeah.
It's like a bad purchase. You know, that it's like, Why did I buy that? What was I thinking? But I spent so much money on it, I can't throw it away.
Because yeah.
maybe I'll meet somebody someday that they could use it, and I just can't throw it away. So it sits clogging your closet up. And so does many of these foods that we eat clog our fat up, just sitting around, not right. burning. So what we have done is we have stimulated our hormones to be in continual, what I call fat storage mode, which is normal, that you should be in fat storage mode, and then you should be in fat burning mode.
Right.
So you eat, and we think, oh, we're using that.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll talk about that in a minute. It's like when you eat a sugar-based diet, it's like kindling. But people tend to think it's like what I'm eating, I need energy right now.
Yep.
And they don't understand that humans, with our very prodigious fat stores compared to other animals, so human babies are born, even though we're born very immature, we're 5 times fatter than even fat other newborns.
Right.
So this is to make sure the brain, which needs to have continuous source of not just oxygen from breathing in and out, but nutrients like fuel. The brain is like a huge gas guzzling car, and it doesn't do well when it runs out of gas.
Mm-hmm.
So nature provided this sort of dual fuel tank, I call it. So you have one small tank that's like your overnight size
right.
bag, you know,
yeah.
that's around, it helps you run from the tiger. And then we have this big tank, storage tank, that holds fat.
Right.
And so everything we eat, it goes, okay, well, we're gonna distribute it, and you can just go to the fat, because the fat always takes you in, and then you can fill out the overnight bag, replace a few things, but we're really not burning that off. And what we need to be is having our hormones go eat, store fat, then use that fat appropriately
right.
as a source of energy. But the problem is when you eat all the time, people are going around going, I'm trying to manage my blood sugar. My blood sugar's up, down. And they're managing their blood sugar
yeah.
like they're a walking around insulometer or something.
I get that so much. It's like, you know, when we did booty camp, we had this eat 3 meals a day. So it was, you have your breakfast when you wake up.
Mm-hmm.
Before you go to work, you have your eggs and good satiating food. And then you have your lunch, and then you have your dinner, and that's it. And we were so gung-ho about no snacking. But it was so funny because we'd get these emails saying, oh, I feel like my blood sugar is dropping, I have no energy. And it's like, Jesus, you've eaten 3 times a day already. You know, it's like this thing that's it's like it's stuck in their head that they have to have something in between meals, because it's like, I'm hyperglycemic, I'm gonna faint, I'm this, I'm that, I'm shaking. And it's like they're gone back to being a baby or like
right.
a
or dog.
Yes. And it's like, I
just
need
it's like
food.
Like I'm dying.
Yeah.
Seriously, I'm dying.
Yeah.
So what gets the food? So I call this is the dog brain, the dog
right.
brain that we have. You know, we have our people brain on top of this middle emotional dog brain that's trainable. Well, I call it the beast, the
yes.
brat, and the big brother. And we'll do that, the three brains, on another talk. But this dog brain, this mammalian brain, it's just like a dog. And if anyone has them, they know, what is it that's going to get me the treat?
Mm-hmm.
Whining? Doing a cute trick?
Yeah.
Sitting very quietly,
yeah.
whatever it is that gets the treat, I will do that to
yeah.
get the treat. So I just keep telling people, do you not understand your brain is in charge? Your dog brain is making you have these symptoms from the hypoglycemia.
Yeah.
And are they having hypoglycemia? Not in the sense usually like someone who has diabetes and insulin is getting dangerously low blood sugar.
Right.
What they're having is blood sugar that goes up and down and all over the shop all the time, and they're feeling the effects of low blood sugar, which will go away if you eat something.
Right.
But their brain makes the symptoms to get the treat. It's
yeah.
like, oh, that trick is the one that you want.
Yeah.
So you get the trick to get the treat. So I'm like, if you had a dog and you'd say, here is your treat, now never bother me again because you got your treat, would the dog go, oh, thank you, and I will never bother you again? No, it goes,
no.
Oh, now I know exactly what to
what
do.
To
I'm
going
to do that over
yeah.
and over and over again.
So it's like your body, your brain sends these signals to your body. It's like, oh, give me the shakes, give me this, give me that, and then
right.
hopefully she'll feel sorry enough for right. herself and she'll give herself something.
And you don't, and again, a lot of these are, we have real feelings,
right.
but you aren't necessarily shaking. And what you're doing is overreacting physiologically to the dropping of your blood sugar. Now, So there is a drop, but the drop is because you shot it way up in the air. If it wasn't high, it wouldn't drop.
Right. Yeah.
So they're kindly always going up and down. And this is where I say is like fuel, we're supposed to be working off of the fat fuel. It's a nice, slow burning, you know, you want to be in fat burning mode for a lot of the time. So you want to have this fat burning instead of always fat storage after meals, like put it all away, you know, like you go to the store, you shop, you put all the groceries away. You don't like start eating in the grocery store and in the car on the way home. And then as you're putting everything in, but in fact, we do do that, but you're not supposed to, you're supposed to stock it up and put it there, and then you use it when it's time to use it.
I feel like people get into a bit of a frenzy. It's so funny. It's like, you know, on the drive home from going shopping or whatever, it's like, I need this now. I need to eat it in the car. It needs to be in between my legs, on my lap, and I need to be like this all the way
always,
home.
It's always like stress relieving to eat. So it's, you know, this is built into the... But we had a structure of the world around us where you couldn't really do that. Food took time to prepare. So it wouldn't have been an okay thing. Like it wouldn't have been an okay thing when I was little to just go in and eat what was in the refrigerator. Right. Because that might be, my mom might have wanted to use that for dinner.
Right.
And we have five kids and she just can't be having all of them.
Be doing that all
the
time.
But now her kids have had kids and she's a grandmom and they go around and is like, the things that she wouldn't let us do, like the breakfast cereal, she knew how much breakfast cereal, you weren't just allowed to just go in and just pour bowls and bowls of breakfast cereal.
Yeah.
My brother got more trouble for that than almost anything.
Right.
Like eating a whole box of cereal at a time.
Yeah, and that is such an easy thing to do, by the way, to, to do
It's very easy, and it's a very bad food for that. And you, it's also, you don't even need to put it in the bowl. You could just stick your hand in it. And it's really just crumbled up cookies.
You know what I used to do, actually? This was a thing that I used to do when I was younger. Like, myself and my brother, we were so obsessed with cereal. Like, that was our favorite food. It was like breakfast, lunch, and dinner. We would eat that all day, every day, if we were allowed. And we were, actually. That's why we were chubby teenagers. But what I used to do was I'd fill up my bowl, like high bowl of cereal, loads of milk. And then what I used to do was, so I'd eat all of my cereal and then there'd be milk still left in the bowl. So I'd be like, I'm just gonna put in a little bit more to finish off my milk. And then I would do that and they'd be like, maybe a little bit more, and they'd be like, this is kind of dry actually, and then it'd add more milk, and then it was just a cycle, need more cereal, need more milk, and then before you know, the cereal box is gone. So
yeah. Do you know that this is an interesting statistic, that Ireland eats more breakfast cereal per capita than any country
in the
world?
Yeah, I'm sure they do.
And the hilarious thing is, like, you know, when you come to America, is when you go to Ireland, then you go, I don't know why they eat the most breakfast cereal, because compared to us, you have no breakfast cereal.
Yeah.
Because the stores in Ireland, the whole store is like as big as our breakfast cereal aisle.
Yeah, I know. I don't know. People are just obsessed with cereal in Ireland. Like,
and then they
really
just eat very, very large amounts. And even though there isn't much selection. So people, when I have friends come from Ireland, when they go, they just like, oh my God, when they look at the cereal aisle, because there's like 100
But it could be even like the most boring cereal to Americans. Like, we would, like Rice Krispies or Corn Flakes, where that's like a big thing, and loads of sugar, full fat milk, you're singing.
Yeah, so, but you're singing a very sad song.
I know, yeah.
Because the weight has come right with that. Definite big change.
Yeah.
So that was with the affluence. And it's kind of funny because it is very cheap food. So the whole cost of the cereal is the packaging.
Right.
And they had an experiment, I remember once, where they fed the rats the cereal versus the box, and the ones who ate the cereal did worse than the ones that ate the boxes.
Oh yeah, you were saying that, actually.
I can't, I've got to find it. And so please, like, you can't hold me to this. I don't know if it's an actual study, because I have not been able to find it. It sure sounds good, but the reality is that it's about the same. There's not much nutrition. There's calories. And so it depends on how fat you are naturally. But let's get back to snacking, because this is what the problem is. So when we look and see what is the behavior that's most associated with obesity, it is the frequency of eating. So I've done, I wrote a book on kids don't count calories for this is the hugest concern for moms, say, is they're really worried about their kids being overweight.
Right, yeah.
And they try and put them on a diet, but this doesn't, it backfires and it actually means more weight for them. What is associated is this new behavior, which you can see, is that they never decrease the frequency of their eating. So they're eating round the clock. So mom goes out in the stroller and there has to be juice box and cereal in the Paggy and the power bar, you know, that the food is basically nonstop. So this means that insulin is always being stimulated, because mostly people are going around going, well, I'm trying to watch the carbs and do this and the glycemic index and all of these things. And I said, but the best way to not stimulate insulin is to not eat.
Yes.
Like to have a break, a pause, a fast, a mini fast. And people go, oh my God, I can't possibly fast. But if we go back to birth, we are born, the moment we are born, we have to start fasting, which is just a food-free interval.
Right.
All I'm asking is that you stretch it and help train your body to use the junk in your trunk, that fuel, instead of living off the kindling fire.
Right.
So what I mean by living off the kindling fire, when you're eating starch and sugar, which is much more rapidly used, you can use a little bit of it because your blood sugar goes up, but blood sugar's dangerous, so you don't want it up. So you secrete insulin so that it gets stored away where it won't be dangerous anymore. And so then as it goes up, as it goes down, then you're going to be stimulated to eat because now you have still insulin on board. When you have insulin on board, your fat stores, your saddlebags are locked down, everything's locked. You can't get into the fat stores. So hormonally, you have to start to train your body to be a coal burner instead of a kindling burner.
Right.
Because if you're a kindling burner on sugar, you have to like put a stick on and it burns really bright and fast and then it burns out and then you have to put another stick on it. And you can never leave it because it would go out.
Right.
And this is what people are like, you know, I'm like, you have to eat for satiety. You have to sit. So I first start off as like, okay, what if I told you you could have as much as you want? Do you not think you could eat enough to last 4 hours until the next meal? How much food do you need? All the food in the world.
Yeah.
But it doesn't work that way, because when people eat a lot, if they're used to eating frequently, they just want to eat frequently.
Right.
And you have to train your hormones to feel confident that there's plenty of fuel in that dual tank to burn. And if you train your brain that you should have a snack every time you feel hungry and you never say pause and you're always going, I have no willpower. And I say, you have no skill power and you have no won't power.
Yeah.
It's the won't. It's like, no, you won't starve to death.
Right. Yes. And
if you don't eat for 6 hours or 8 hours, you know, that is why they call it breakfast. It breaks the fast.
Yeah. And I promised myself that I would never say that I'm starving anymore. It's like a word that I would kind of throw around for just when I was feeling a little bit hungry. And I feel like it was my brain again, like, no, you really are. Like, you really need some sugar right now, or you need a little bar, you need a little something. But when I started doing the stop, eat, stop, it's amazing, like, the change. You just, you don't have to think about it anymore, because it's like your brain is at ease. It knows that you will feed it at some stage in the day. But I feel like people are just a little bit uncomfortable maybe with the idea, or afraid of the idea that, you know, I might actually faint here.
Well, they're very confused with the idea of the food that you're eating is the food that you're using right then.
Yeah.
That is not how our body works. We're supposed to, like, really not even use the food that we're eating at all. It all gets put away, like the grocery store. You go get groceries.
Right.
You don't eat any of it in the grocery store or on the car on the way home.
Yeah.
Or like, you put everything away.
Right.
And then at mealtime, you eat. And mealtime for your body means going to fat stores.
Right.
So when we snack, we're actually putting this, always infusing this little bit of sugar that can be used as fuel. So again, you're going up and down, but you're not training your body to wait the way that you would start to train a child to say, okay, well, you're ready to have meals.
Mm-hmm.
You stretch that time period. So it would used to be a really bad time for kids. You know, you come home, you've been at school, you've been using your brain, you had lunch, you know, and maybe then it's, they would say a snack, but it's really a small meal. So say a child needs 4 meals, so they need this after school meal. But even if you have the after school meal and then you go out and play or do other stuff, then dinner, it's supposed to be dinner time, and it's like, I'm starving, I'm gonna die. And your mom would just go, no, you're not gonna starve. I promise. I'm absolutely 100% sure in the next 30 minutes, which is when we're gonna all sit down and have dinner, you won't starve. Do they feel hunger pangs? And are they uncomfortable? Yes, hunger pangs are hunger pains.
Right.
It's painful.
Yeah.
Because your body is going, feed me, like the dog that's running through all their repertoire of tricks.
Yeah.
And if you reward that behavior, then
it's, gonna keep
it's going to keep coming back because it's a very effective way of getting the treat. So what are you supposed to do? And I think a really terrible thing that we get into is this whole dieting. Because we literally are starving ourselves. Mm. We're not listening to our body at all. We're not eating properly. We don't have... We're trying to lose weight instead of stop gaining weight and maintain a normal weight over the course of a lifetime. Because of all animals have to be born knowing how much to eat.
Yes.
I mean, it's crazy when you think of it. It's like, how could you not know how much to eat?
Mm-hmm.
Are you just like never supposed to stop or never eat? You know, it's built in. You know how much to eat the same way you know how much to breathe. So that is why I tell people we have, because of the current food environment, which is very processed food, highly makes your blood sugar go up really quickly, eating all the time, food's very prepared, no meals or ritual associated, there's no structure to help us help our body be in tune with the world around us, then we have what I call asthma of the appetite.
Right.
So,
yeah.
You know, asthmatics feel like in a world full of air, they can't breathe.
Yes.
And we are in a world full of food and we're still hungry.
Yeah.
And we are in a world full of fat on our body and we don't feel like we can use that. It's like our brain's going, no, no, that's for an emergency. I have to have something. I need this right now. Or I will like swoon or faint or and really feel all those. So there is a definite process, but that process used to be within your community and your family where you just didn't help yourself to everything.
Yeah.
It would be crazy. So when people say it's like, well, you know, but we just do that. I said, would you just go, oh, I'm so hungry, I'm just going to see if this person's car door is open and reach in and riffle through their purse and see what's in there and eat it? Am I just going to walk into their house and open up their refrigerator, stranger? No, we feel no constraint.
Yeah.
So now I'm going to be like a little bit graphic, but I think it really hammers the point home.
Okay.
Because I call it table training is the new toilet training.
Okay.
Because when you're little... and you have your diaper on, like you can't be bothered.
Yeah.
Well, you have to go, you go. Mm-hmm. And somebody cleans it up. You know, and then somebody starts to go, you know, I don't want to clean up after you forever. This is a toilet and this is where you go to the bathroom. And of course they go, maybe you do, but I can't be bothered right now. And you kind of push them pretty hard to this is where you go. And for an adult, if you said, okay, I'll clean up after you. Here's a you know, here's a diaper.
Mm-hmm.
You're just like, oh, can I use your restroom real quick? No, no, just put this diaper on and just pee yourself.
Yeah.
You'll be great. We'll clean up, we'll throw it out, and I'll give you a new one. Yeah. And you're like, no, 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 no. I can't. Even if I really had to go, I couldn't, like, go in a puddle on the floor.
Right.
I can't.
Yeah.
I cannot do that. Because we have been toilet trained, but we have not been table trained.
Right. It's true.
So we feel like we have to eat as soon as the urge strikes us,
mm-hmm.
or we will like have fits or low blood sugar, you know, whatever. We're going to suffer from all these symptoms that we don't have any constraint around that structure was there, where you just wouldn't think of doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Like there, if there's rules, like you wouldn't go in, but the food is so readily available. Everybody's eating it. We're just human beings. We look and see, what is everyone else doing? I just should do what everyone else is doing. And they're not going around peeing on bushes like dogs. You know, they are using a restroom.
Yeah.
So we do what everybody else is doing. And there's a lot of money in food.
Oh, for sure.
A lot of money in this subsidized, cheap, grain-based food that's making us really...
Right.
Fat and making us be very insulin resistant, and when we have insulin on board, because the fat stores are closed off, then the brain is sending text messages off going, we are hungry, we can't use this, just go get something to eat. Mm-hmm. So we're very, very food preoccupied as well. Oh, so yeah. I always tell people, don't say to yourself, I'm not going to eat, because your brain's like, what do you mean you're not going to eat? I'm on a diet, you fat slob, I'm not going to eat until I'm thin. And your brain is like, have you looked in the mirror lately? That sounds like it might be a really, really long time.
Yeah.
And your brain knows that's just not going to work anyway. You have to start saying, I'm not going to eat yet, and then I am going to eat when it's time to eat.
Right. Yeah.
And then you teach yourself to eat enough at one meal to last till the other meal. Okay. That's called satiety. And you should have learned it by the time you're 6 months old. Because when they looked at babies and even measured their weights, you know, to know exactly yeah. how much they ate, a six-week-old baby will eat the most food when they slept for the longest. They actually did the study to find out how to get them to sleep for, consolidate sleep and sleep for longer periods.
Right.
So as they slept for like 5 hours in a row, that long sleep, then a six-week-old baby is going to eat the most when they wake up. They're going to wake up, wah!
yeah.
But by that time, that same baby is 6 months old. They know they tank up and they eat the most before they go to sleep.
Right.
So now they have this structure and their brain has learned what we call satiety, which means to eat enough at one meal to last till the next
okay.
meal. But if you're not, you know, other hormones come in like ghrelin and things like that. But we needed this structure. And everything about being human used to have this structure around growing up. It was part of the whole maturation. You ate with the family. It was mm-hmm. like conversation and, you know, it was community and social. And now we are so much like animals. I mean, right. we are just gobbling literally. Okay, we have the spoon at the cereal bowl. But really, is it much of it like just... Imagine, you can imagine like just put your head down into
well,
the bowl
we're
and inhaling.
Yeah.
You know, it's literally like we're just shoving it into our yeah. mouth as fast as we can.
I mean, there's a great saying in Ireland. I don't know if you guys have it here in America, but when I was growing up, if you didn't finish what you were eating, it was like, Jesus, don't you know there are starving kids in Africa? Why aren't you eating the rest of your dinner? And it would, I remember when I was younger, well, I don't know if you guys eat as much potatoes as we do back home, but that was like the staple of every single evening. You got potatoes, meat, and a veg. That's mm-hmm. that was dinner. And I hated potatoes when I was younger. I used to spit them in a tissue. I would like, I'm chewing my potato, and then I'd have a tissue and I'd like spit it out in my tissue and like put it down by my side. But my dad, like Irish people are like, potatoes are like, they're so good for you. So he would sit there until I finished every bit of my potato. And I swear to God, it was so torture. I like potatoes now, by the way, but I didn't like them back then. But it was like this whole thing that like, he would have to sit there until I finished my whole plate because there are starving kids in Africa and you should not waste food. So that kind of teaches us then when we grow up, it kind of gets us into that habit of finish it. You yes. don't waste the food.
Finishing is a very human thing, and we will do that when we do our great portion distortion
right.
talk of like how much to eat. But the serving size is when your hand hits the bottom. Yeah. I mean, you're just acting like a child when a child doesn't know that. And it's true, we're socialized, but even without anyone, you just look around and you eat until it's done.
Right.
Because in a world where food was scarce, you eat food when it's available. And then you carry it in your saddlebags. You don't leave food.
Mm.
So, because you don't know when you might get more.
Right. Yeah.
So food is like, there was no grocery store. There was no ability to do that. You carry the food on your body. I call it like your fanny is the original fanny pack. You know.
Right.
Oh,
yeah.
And I don't want to use fanny. Like fanny means something different in Ireland. You know, here it means your butt. So, but it literally was that pack where you would carry your, but it's not a snack. It's a meal.
Right.
It's a meal. And, we can't be eating like dogs. My son has a dog. She's so cute. And he put it up, her name is Scully, and she is so adorable. And she is the most intense food-motivated dog, which is really saying something. Like,
yeah.
she is insane to get to the food. And he posted one thing on Facebook one time. It's like this, the whole Hobbit thing. It's like, but what about second breakfasts? And at least in second breakfasts, you're actually talking about breakfast.
Yeah.
Not a snack.
Right.
But, you know, hobbits are known to be chubby.
Right. Yes, they are.
So, and they are a little food upset, but they're known to be, you know, well padded.
Yeah.
And when we're children and we're eating frequently, we are growing up. But once you stop growing up and you do that and you're stimulating your insulin, eating frequently is going to make you grow out.
Right.
There's no two ways about it. So the easiest, it's a kind of a big behavior, it's a big change for people. But the one thing, the single one thing you can do to help your weight control is to not snack at all.
Right.
Like plan your meals, and adults do not need more than three meals at the most, and most adults can do quite well on two.
Mm-hmm.
And if you really want to get more bang for your buck with the insulin, is we'll talk a little bit about what foods that you can eat, but as far as timing is to try and get your food-free interval longer than your food-included interval.
Right, you say that in your book, actually.
Right.
It's great, and people just kind of need to understand that, like, you will eat. You will. Mm-hmm. Just give yourself, like, in order to actually use your fat, people don't like to hear this sometimes, but you actually, you have to be hungry sometimes. You have to feel those hunger pangs.
Right.
You have to ride the waves, unfortunately.
Right.
If you want to start using your reservoir, you have to kind of go with that.
We seem to be a lot more willing to feel the burn in the exercise than feel the burn in in the hunger.
Yeah.
And it's because it's just right there. And it's so tempting. But you have to train your brain not to keep begging. Like that dog. If you don't want your dog to beg for treats, you can't keep giving them for treats. If you don't want your child to scream at the checkout counter where the candy is sitting right there, then you can't sometimes give them the candy.
Right.
Because then they go, oh, I understand now. The thing that gets the candy is to scream really loud. And then they just start doing that from the beginning. They don't even bother.
Right.
There's no reason to ask politely. Just start shrieking, and then your mom will do anything just to get you out of the car, just shut you up. And so our brain is very oriented to do that. What is going to get the reward? And food is a reward. So you have to just make your brain calm and say there will be reward, just not right now.
Mm-hmm.
Just the whole table training is the new toilet training.
Exactly.
You can wait. You don't have to go right this instant.
Yeah.
But I mean, we said the same thing. It's like, I'm gonna burst.
Yeah.
But you'll wait.
Yeah.
You will not go on the floor if you feel like you're about to burst.
Yeah.
You will wait until there is a bathroom available.
Yeah.
You will be uncomfortable, but you will not go.
No. Well, the good news is that you can train yourself to do this. And Teresa has a great book called The Evolutionary Eating Book, Why We Got Fat and 7 Simple Fixes to That. So you go through 7 stages on how to try and fix that and put some structure back in your life and give yourself some rules. And there is no problem with having, need rules in your life when it comes to food.
The first rule is when to eat.
Exactly.
And you eat at mealtime.
Right.
Designated mealtime. It makes life so much easier.
Right.
But I want to finish today with one of my favorite little stories about the Earl of Sandwich.
Yes.
So
go ahead.
Because I read this because I was writing a blog post on snack attack and things, and the sandwich, which is, everybody knows what a sandwich is named after this Earl of Sandwich. So I looked him up, and apparently this guy was the most despised man in Europe, and he was the head of the Hellfire Club, and he was despised. And what he did was he was playing poker in one of those all-night games, and he didn't want to he didn't want to make time to eat.
Right.
So he really, the sandwich was this first snack. Like, I cannot be bothered, just give me something that I can keep playing cards and I can just shove it in my gob and not stop what I'm doing. That's so much more important.
It doesn't require a plate or cutlery.
Plate or cutlery, just shove it in and still keep doing, so I can go on, just feed me. And people are like, oh, how can you? And I was like, oh yeah, when you look back, Henry VIII and things, They had that show, The Tudors, where he was slim for most of his life and he got fat later on in life. And I say, when you think of Henry VIII, what picture comes in your mind? And everybody's like, a hugely big fat guy.
Yeah.
Right? But you know that he was fat then because everybody wasn't fat. So it isn't just the access. The access to the food was anybody in his court. But everybody wasn't as fat as him. Mm-hmm. He apparently had inflammation, injury, and he started this gluttonous way of eating around the clock, which was really a problem for him.
Right.
But if you watch, you know, these shows, like these period movies or Downton Abbey or things like that, the ritual that's associated with dinner, I think that's why people, you know, the whole Roman ritual is right. You don't eat for most of the day. And then when you do, there's all this structure. I mean, you spend 2 hours getting ready. Dinner is more of a chore than it is
right.
a pleasure.
Yeah.
And when we have those structure, which you know, children weren't allowed because they literally couldn't deal with the structure. But that was what the whole process of learning how to eat was. And we certainly have that capacity because we can store food in our body. And look at a bear, who we're sort of most like. They don't eat for the whole winter.
Right.
You're just, as long as you have fat to burn, you're not going to starve to death as long as hormonally it's available. Can people starve while they're fat? Yes, starving means burning your organs or your good stuff instead of your fat.
Right.
And hormonally, you can literally put your body in such bad shape that it starts burning your good stuff.
Right, yeah.
And that is why we feel bad. So that means eat for coal fuel, eat nourishing, and eat at the right time and not too often. And think about that interval of shrinking the food included interval relative, and then eat nothing.
Right.
Oh, and by the way, that means drinking too, because in nature,
yeah.
there are no beverages with calories in them.
Right.
So that's obviously a big part of that. So what you drink, that's just what was broken down, and that's just food that's been made into the blender, like the Vitamix in your stomach. It's still food. It's just all your body can't tell the difference of it. So
and don't get caught up in the diet this, diet that soda. It's all the same.
It really is about a behavior.
Right.
So the end things where people are going to say is, so what's a healthy snack? No such thing.
Snack.
No
yeah.
such thing.
Yeah. I mean, even in France, they don't have a word for snack. It's le snack, I think, right?
Right, isn't because it? That was sort of
It was
of
just
their,
introduced.
That was the idea. They're very regimented about when to eat.
Right, and they sit down as a family in France quite a lot. When they eat, they eat together.
Yeah.
And it's like,
the
it is a
ritual,
framed
like
in time.
Like you have a framed in time.
Yeah,
it's important
exactly.
time. And that is, that makes mealtime something to look forward to. So we are eating like babies. We are eating on demand, around the clock, wherever we are, food that's been prepared for and taken away by someone else. That
yes.
makes it, it's chewed, it's highly palatable, it's baby food, and literally,
and we're
it's
like
in the
this.
Car seat.
Yeah, and we're on the phone, and we're doing this, and we're not, it's mindless again. It's all very, very mindless. And then
it doesn't register.
Right.
We don't think that we've eaten, but we have. So when you practice your skill power, instead of willpower, you practice your skill power and your won't power. So when people say, I don't think I could fast, I'm like, look at what a great learning opportunity is. You get a chance to be like training the dog. You get to say no like 50 times.
Yeah.
So for every hunger pang where your little inner dog goes, but I'm starving to death. Can I eat now? Nope, not yet. Wait until dinner.
Right.
But I'll never last. Yes, you will. Wait until dinner.
Yeah.
Every one of those where you were cued but didn't respond, you're unlearning that you need to respond to every feeling of hunger
right.
that you have. So it isn't easy to retrain, just like toilet training isn't easy. Table training can happen, and it is the one behavior that's going to serve you well. Not dieting, it's an eating behavior, and it's one we all have to grow up and eat like a grown-up.
Right. Awesome. Thanks so much for that, Teresa. So again, I hope you picked up some useful tips in our little chat today. I would like to recommend two books, if that's okay. One book.
Well, we'll put them in the show notes, I guess.
Yeah, we'll put them in the show notes. But I love The Evolutionary Eating because obviously it gives me the steps, the 7 steps. And another great one is The Mindless Eating book.
Oh, by Brian Wansink.
Yeah.
Yes.
Has some really, really great studies.
You know, we
in
need
there.
To do a podcast on all of the others.
I think,
because,
yeah.
know, a lot of those, the evolutionary eating is, you know, that was the when to eat.
Right.
So we focused on that. But he has so many great tips on, you know, what we're being cued for.
Right.
What, you know, what things in our environment. So, you know, I always say habitats make habits. So you should use your willpower to structure your world so you don't have to be tempted all the time. Right. Like, you don't want to take your dog and lay down something like a piece of steak on the ground.
Right.
And have them keep just looking at it.
Yeah.
So that is not very pleasant. So you put the food away and don't keep cueing yourself. And we have not very much control over the external world where people are trying to sell us food, but we do have some control over our personal environment.
Right.
And it really helps to get the food out of sight. And that's food for thought for another day, where we'll discuss mindless eating, which is an awesome book. But for today, let's just think about growing up instead of growing out.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for being here today, Teresa. And we'll see you soon in our next show. So take care. And we'll see you then.
Bye for now.